there yet for health reform. What do you see as the next steps? I know that IT is obviously a big thing about coordinating care and all that. What do you think would be the next big wins for us to, as ACRA to be progressing?
I think the most important thing is having a narrative about what we're trying to do and why. I mean, whenever you talk in political circles, it's always the, you know, the eyes go heavenwards. It's all about a big black hole and money going down that sinkhole. And I think it's not like that. I think that what we've done in this country is have a very good, well-balanced health system that works well. Yes, people may not like private, but the private and public has actually worked very well. And it's been looked across the world as being a good way to go. So we need to build on it and not see a wrecking ball come through and scatter what we've actually built. So the key components are making sure that we've actually got an enhanced set of deliverable opportunities. That will be different funding models. It will be different ways of doing business in the out-of-hospital space. And the out-of-hospital space is bigger than general practice alone. It is all the other people working in that space, including specialist providers. And so better interactions, and that's what we try to do with the Health and Hospital Reform Commission, a better interaction between the hospital sector, generally state, and the out-of-hospital sector, generally federal or Commonwealth, and make sure that it's a respectful, ongoing communication interaction that's going to make the system actually work better. You know, we try and do it every day in our own backyards, but it's hard. So try and take it to the national level is even harder. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't try and try again. And to me, those things are important. And that communication absolutely is enhanced by use of technology.
Thanks, Nikesh. Lisa McGlynn from the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare. My question is about the criticality of health information in terms of having a dialogue with government and with other sectors. And I suppose I just wanted to first make an observation following this morning's session about the dialogue we have with governments and people saying, well, we should be having a values-based dialogue. I haven't seen many signs that this government, that that's where they want to start. And it occurs to me then that the role of health information in presenting a return on investment and posing the value proposition is where we might go. Hospitals information in this country is more advanced. Primary health care information, as you know, is there's a paucity of primary care information. So I'm wondering if you've got any suggestions or ideas about how we in the health sector and the people in this room might advance the primary health care information in this country, but also to get the information that the health insurers have now about knowing about where the costs are for their frequent flyers, they know exactly what they're getting and when, and how through data linkage and other means we might use the information that already exists in this country to advance that debate.
Yeah, thank you. It's a very important set of criteria, one that's actually quite hard to move through the wheels of how this thing works. I mean, on a very basic level, there are multiple areas where data is gathered, and it's all gathered in different ways. And there are different registries for different diseases, for instance. And they'll all be, may be about the same person who's got diabetes, who's got heart disease, who's got chronic obstructive heart disease, and probably got cancer as well. But they'll all be gathered in different places, different ways. And they're coming together about the way we think the data is gathered with the same sort of methodology so that you don't have to keep digging different databases to get that joined up view of that patient. The way in which the data is also gathered using things like the data linkage programs, for instance, WA, New South Wales has now got it, Victoria's looking at it. That is also done in a combined national way. That means you can actually see some commonality across various databases and gathering. There's been a whole lot of reporting necessity, and sometimes they are bits of information they use, but often they may not be. So you don't want to drown people things that they're trying to capture. Coming to the general practice world, I mean, there are databases that have been quite useful. Beach, which you guys run, or Fund, didn't you? I thought, but you published it. I signed a book on it once. Okay, well, it was a long time ago. I did sign a book with a Beach study from the AHW, let me show you. There is information there that is there. Things like the GP collaboratives that we've had, general practice, they have been a very useful way of not just gathering data, but changing ways of doing business. And I think that the more easy you make that, And there have been things like the canning tool in WA or the pen tool that is seen in other places. Other ways of gathering information from clinical information systems becomes useful. As we move towards the more commonality of the way in which we classify conditions in general practice, and at the moment it's not, and in fact it's not practically anywhere, then we'll get some better ways of getting data. But it's going to be part of the way in which we do our business, that you start off and you record what you've done, and then you can have a much better trajectory of what's happened to that person and their illness. So it's not just the mechanics, it's not just the political settings or the technical settings, but it's also about whole way of doing business, which understands we do, but make it easy to do our work and do that gathering without being an extra imposition. Because there's an extra half a day work or 2 days, you know, in using the high tech in the US, where they've got $27 billion gone into this area, people will go home at the end of the day and do 3 to 4 hours of entering the data to get their payments through the insurance system. So it's not well received. So that's you've got to make easier, not more difficult. And you've got to make the solution. Currently, the solution, you know, people's solution is actually not my problem.
Hi, Mikesh. I'm Lee Swinson from the Health Services Union. I don't disagree with anything you're saying about where we need to go, but branches in the Health Services Union are still fighting to get enough computers for community-based clinicians so they don't have to wait in line to fill in their medical records.
I can give you a real horror story of what's happening in the community sector in terms of, you know, wonderful huge spends on bits of technology that should have been used for, you know, community maternal child health nursing that they forgot to build interface, so, you know, it didn't work. In major teaching hospitals in places where they've given everybody iPads and they forgot the Wi-Fi. So, you know, that sort of stuff happens. Yes, you know, technology is so intrinsic in what we do. All the people that come through today who started probably the last 10 years have probably done most of their learning on technical devices, and then they have to go back to paper. You know, it just defies belief that I can provide a very nice referral, but I then have to print it out and put an envelope and put a stamp on to send John a letter, for instance. You know, and so yes, the technology isn't expensive anymore. It needs to be invested in, and it needs to be seen as part of a solution. And it's not about the dollar. Nobody's going to take 10 or 20, you know, 1,000 million-dollar coins to Treasury and say, here, look, we're saving this money. What they will do is, you see, that's your cost you're worried about. Well, that's happening. That's the saving. And that's the conversation. But you're absolutely right. You've got to have the tech to do it.